MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL, Score Big has all the sports tickets you want at up to 60% off. It's easy to use. I've used it myself. All you got to do is log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Score Big icon. Score Big, the lead pipe lock for great game tickets. Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green, with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. Ryan, we are coming up to the Thanksgiving Day week of football, one of my favorite weeks of football all year round, one of the few times when I enjoy some Thursday games. But, Ryan, we're going to recap Week 11 first. What was the biggest surprise in Week 11?
Because
I'm trying to look at these results, and it's tough for me to think here's of a result deal, that was shocking.
I did not do very well picking. It was one of those. There's two types of weeks that always boggle my mind. The weeks where I do really well in the pick 'em system or forum,
yep,
and don't make a lot of money. And then there's the weeks where I do horribly picking all the games, but somehow manage to, you know, break even. So for me, it was a week where I believe, and this is the crazy thing about the ESPN pick 'em, I actually got 7 right in the ESPN pick 'em, Sean.
Nice.
But due to some late switches in our other pick 'em we do off air, I only got 3 right. And some of that was some of the convenient pushes that were wins the other way.
Yeah.
So the biggest... I don't know. The biggest thing I took away from the weekend is how many bad calls there were. Just now, I know we can talk about it later, Sean, but there was that call in the Saints 49ers game.
Yeah.
We did not have the audio on for that game.
No.
But wow. I still haven't heard anyone really talk about it. How was he not down by contact?
All right, let's get into that, Ryan, real quick. We'll jump ahead to the New Orleans.
No, we can come back to it.
Come back to it.
I just think the refs.
Your biggest takeaway was the impact the refs had on the games.
I mean, the refs, just off the top of my head, there were two. That and the Monday night game were clear intervention by the refs. But other than that, I think you see the teams. I think this is the time when you start seeing which teams are for real and which teams really aren't. Which teams might go on a late run. Because this is the time of year where you have to identify those teams that are out of it, that are going to still play hard. And, you know, that's usually where you can make the most money at this time of the year, is betting on those 2-7, 2-8 teams, or 3-6 that, you know, still have fight. They're excited about maybe what they're building for next year.
Yeah, I mean, this 9, 10, 11 game mark right around here is when teams shift gears. They can either downshift. I don't know. I guess the shifting's a little backwards here. But they're either taking a step back or a step forward, it seems like.
Maybe a better analogy is they're taking their foot off the gas pedal or they're putting it on.
Exactly.
Because sometimes you want to downshift for more power.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was saying. The shifting, not the greatest analogy. Ryan, we'll start off with my lead pipe lock of the week, the Indianapolis Colts. In Tennessee, laying 2.5. I made a real nice cash on here because I bought the half point. Very happy I did. Indy, 30. Tennessee, 27.
Well, this is one of those games, right? Like they say, any gambling podcast you might listen to, there's no such thing as a square bet. It's just getting the square number.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a great example. If you bet the 2.5, like you and I did, you bought it, I got it when it was still 2.5, versus betting the 3, you're laying 3 in this game, you're a square.
One of the guys on Twitter hit me up right after I was touting about my Indy minus 2.5.
Which is what you love to do.
Well, yeah, it's fun to celebrate when you win, right?
Sometimes you got to act like you've been there before, Sean.
No, but I was just taking a lot of grief. It's mainly our other buddy, Steve, who is a stats guy. It's all about the Indianapolis Colts regression. I'm a guts guy, instincts. That's how I'm an instinct handicapper run. And I've just bought into the Andrew Luck train now because the guy just wins games. He doesn't lose back-to-back games. I was riding that, and it just felt good to be vindicated. But, yeah, a guy hit me up on Twitter, and he goes, yeah, nice play I had the other way, getting Tennessee plus 3.5.
Exactly. That's a game that for those of you who listen to First Preview pre-games podcast, Vegas Runner brought up the point. Like, that's a situation where everyone should be winning. Like, if you're getting the best of the number, everyone should have won that game.
Yeah, well, they say everyone, but let's be honest.
Everyone who's intelligent, basically.
Well, yeah, but also these guys have... I mean, with the crackdown on illegal gambling,
sure.
It's not as easy. If you're, let's say you're a guy in Louisiana, you're either going through one guy, maybe you know a local guy, or what do you got? Maybe Bodog. There's not a lot of legit sites that are operating online. And yeah, the guys, it's easy when you're in Vegas and you got 20 different casinos and you can kind of pick out the best number.
Totally agree. Don't disagree with that point, but... They later made a very interesting point, which I was not aware of this, actually. I did not know the math worked out to this, but coming off or onto three is actually worth 23 cents. So if you – which is interesting because I was unaware that most books sell it for 25 cents, whereas the establishment we operate at, Sean, it only costs 20 cents. Now, the argument then is, and they made the same point, even though you're gaining 3 cents of value, is that over the long run, is laying that extra 20 cents going to be worth it, regardless of the value? It's kind of like when you make a Super Bowl bet for a team at plus 50 to 1, and they look like they're going to make the playoffs. Yeah, you have great value on that bet, but it only pays off if it cashes. So it still comes that you might be getting great value, but is that extra 3 cents going to work out in the long run? And I think some of the Andrew Luck stuff, just to take the listeners behind the scenes, it's a little bit that you love Andrew Luck, and it's a little bit more that you love Andrew Luck and hate Cam Newton. So it's become a rivalry between, I'll just interject myself into this, a Cam Newton / Ryan Kramer versus Andrew Luck / Sean Green situation here.
Yeah.
So
we each found our young quarterback that we're trying to bat.
And before we get back into the real, you know what, I'll save it for the Carolina recap. Let's move on.
All right, Ryan. New York Jets went into Buffalo. Man, I thought this was a tough game because I ended up going with the Jets, but really, I kept going back and forth, because it was like, which Jets team is going to show up? Was that bye going to be able to break up their momentum and get them to actually show up after a game they had already won? Because they first NFL team to go win-loss in their first 10 games. They got dominated by Buffalo, 37-14. But this is the Jets loser team that we've seen. It really is a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde with the New York Jets.
So, yeah, I don't think either of us had real money on this game.
No.
But it is one of those games, like, as you're watching it, you're already excited because of what it's going to present for the following week. And I think right at halftime, everyone in the room was kind of like, oh, we're betting on the Jets next week. Like, this is a perfect sometimes these are the perfect kind of games to just gain that extra half point of value on a team.
Oh, yeah, and everyone's going to be – I think the public's going to be down on the Jets once again because they went up against the Buffalo team, which has some kind of feisty at home. And – got dominated. You know, they look at the box score, they see they lost 20 by 23 points.
Yep.
But a lot of potential value.
Yeah, it's also a good situation. Like, I know that now everyone has a chance to see every game, but there's highlights everywhere online on ESPN. But I still think, like, this is a game that not a lot of people watched and paid attention
to.
Well,
right, and that's the other thing. Like, you watch the the highlights don't give you a feel for the game.
No, they show the scores.
Well, they show you the scores. And I noticed they started doing this, and it's really annoying. Like, on NFL Network, and even on Primetime, I noticed it, they'll show the scores out of order. Like, they'll just show. It's so annoying.
Here's what they do. So here's the thing about the NFL, right?
Why is that so annoying?
Storylines built in. The game, there's actually a clock. So you can, you know, the ebb and flow of a game, it's very easy to put back together. But they always want to stack another storyline on top. Like, look how good the backup quarterback played, or check out how the pass. So in a way, like, if they're showing a, like, highlighting a person or a concept, I get it. But in the general, like, here is the highlight package for the Giants and the Packers. Show it to me in order. At least give me that. But look, are we really surprised? I mean, ESPN has shown that they have the capability to fuck up a cup of coffee.
Yeah, it's like my football.
That's why they had to hire Kevin Love to make those double doubles.
it's my football coach. He goes, you could fuck up a wet dream, and it's like they have the NFL. They're just trying to outthink it. Kind of annoying. Chicago Bears at home against the Ravens. Felt good about this Bears team at home. Roughed up Soldier Field, rough weather conditions, and as soon as we went to the long delay, that made me feel a lot better about the Chicago team. I didn't have real money on it. I wish I would have. I hopefully would have been smart enough to buy that half point again and get that kind of added value there against the Ravens.
Anyway, you slice this. That's, having picked the Bears, this was a very lucky result.
The weather definitely helped break up Baltimore's momentum.
As we were watching it, I think one of us said, like, that this is the first real football game being played this year. All muddy and sloppy.
Yep. The cold weather's coming. Cleveland at Cincinnati. I thought Cleveland 5.5 was a little too high, but Cincinnati finally righted the ship here on this season. Kind of reestablished a dominance in the AFC North, 41-20, covering the 5.5 pretty easily here.
Yeah, I had a pretty good hunch. I tweeted out once it got down to 4 or 4.5, whatever it was. I grabbed it. I did have a feeling that Cincinnati was going to roll Cleveland. There was way too much Cleveland backing coming, I thought, And then it started, and Cleveland started really strong, and then Cincinnati said, enough of that. So I don't know really what to take away from this game. The final score is kind of similar to what I thought it might be. Didn't really expect it to play.
Cleveland, I think, is like, deceptively not that good. Like, they're in a lot of games for a decent chunk of time, but you look at their record against the spread and actually what the totals are putting up. I think they're kind of deceptively a bad team.
Well, they went from being a really bad team to people thinking they have a, you know, going on that little run. I think they're a team you identify as, play them as a dog at home.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Or maybe as a double-digit road favorite. I think this is a team that I'm looking...
Road underdog, but yeah.
Sorry, if they're getting more than a touchdown on the road and getting points at home, I'm looking to play them. Other than that, I'm going to pass or play the other side.
Philadelphia Eagles at home getting their first home victory. LeSean McCoy messed up my Nick Foles fantasy run. Oh, man. Eagles look really good. 24-16, covered the 3.5 against the Washington Redskins. Redskins made a little bit of a late comeback there. This reminded me a lot of the first game where the Eagles basically handled Washington in the first half, and then Washington kind of the defense checks out a little bit. Eagles offense sputters in the second half. Washington makes a late run, but not enough. Ryan, it appears like Mike Shanahan's on his way out. RG3 calling him out in the press conference. RG3, kind of passive-aggressive with his comments towards the coaches, Santana Moss questioning his leadership. A lot of disarray in Washington. Do you think Shanahan makes it to next year?
I think there's a better chance than there should be. I don't know. I'm not sure if he will die, if that's what you're implying. But yeah, I'm not sure. I think there's a chance he might stick around as the coach. What I'm interested about is the infighting amongst the players. First, it was the this wasn't amongst the players, but Josh Morgan questioning why he wasn't playing at all. And then RG3 calling out the receivers for not getting open. And then Santana Moss saying that he's got to take some accountability into his own hands.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about it on the top of the show, but this is a team that you might look to start fading a little bit. Look, I was high on them going into the season. I was wrong. I was wrong last week, and I think that will be the last time I'm wrong about the Washington Redskins. I don't think there's going to be a scenario where I'm going to be looking to play the Skins. For me, it's going to be the team they're playing or pass. I just think there's a lot of things wrong with this team. The coaching, the play calling, the inability to stick with the running game, the inability to throw more than the same two pass routes. I don't know. It's interesting.
RG3 is just sailing balls. I mean, there were
– throws everything high.
He was complaining about the receivers getting open, but as an Eagles fan, I was like – I exhaled a couple times when I saw some receivers pretty wide open and RG3 just not making the throws.
You just got – I mean, it's one of those things, like these quarterbacks – everyone was so excited about what a great person RG3 is. But look, you got to see how a guy reacts when they're bad. You got to see how he reacts to the press conferences. And it's not many quarterbacks are good at it. If you're going to give Tony Romo credit for one thing,
he's great at handling.
He's great at not. I mean, you're the quarterback, you blame yourself. It's kind of like the coach. You go out there and you say, we just have to be better. I have to be better. You don't say the receivers need to get open. You don't say the offensive line needs to block better.
That the play calling's bad.
I mean,
they brought it up in one of the ESPN articles I read. They said they compared it to Jimmy Clausen when he did one of those Gruden film sessions and he blamed an interception on one of the receivers. And they said that raised a lot of red flags with GMs.
No, it's one of those things. Like, you want to gain respect. The reason that the New York Giants defense legitimately has Eli Manning's back is because everything is his fault when he's talking to the media. And whether or not it's true or not, it's one of those things. Like, you're the quarterback, you have to take. It's when things are great, you're the hero. When things are bad,
yeah, you're selling Subway sandwiches left and right. Yeah. But when it's going the other way, he seems to have bucked a lot of responsibility.
And to be fair, in his situation, I don't think much blame is on the receivers. I've seen him miss a lot of open receivers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you want to talk about Andrew Luck's receivers have been dropping balls left and right since Reggie Wayne.
Look, that's the NFL. With the exception of the Denver Broncos, there isn't another wide receiver. I mean, everyone's wide receivers is dropping passes and making plays or not making plays they should. Deal with it. It's the NFL. It's crazy. Like, I'm surprised he's acting like a bitch, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think he is,
I didn't see it coming. I mean, I like the guy. After last year, I was like, oh, no, 10 years. this is not a situation I'm going to be looking forward to. Especially
because an ACL injury and this kind of attitude issues, and I'm not nearly as worried.
Well, and Sean, you can vouch for this. Like, Redskins fans, for whatever reason, I never really hated the Redskins. Not on the same level as the Cowboys or the Eagles, but for some reason, when the Redskins get good, their fans come out of the woodwork and they sing their stupid hail to the Redskins. It's like, get over it, guys. Like, you haven't been good since your coach went to go own a NASCAR team. So just relax.
It's been a while. And Philadelphia Eagles sitting in the driver's seat right now in the NFC East. Nick Foles, number one QB rated in the NFL.
QBR or QB rating?
I think he might be I think when I checked QBR, it was before the Broncos game.
Okay.
But QB rating number one for sure. And I think QBR, he's right up there with Peyton Manning. I mean, his numbers are pretty crazy.
Well, and to be fair, the quarterback rating statistic can be a little deceiving because it allows the quarterbacks that do a lot of short passes. He's been throwing the ball.
He's leading in
yards
per attempt.
I will say this. He has gotten away with a lot of this is taking nothing away from him, but being that I watch every game because I watch them with you, there have been a lot of passes that have floated that seem to have miraculously ended up in Eagles' hands. But other than that, he's playing great.
Yeah, I mean he's probably playing. I think he's a good quarterback. I even liked what I saw last year. I saw potential. I kind of wanted him to win the job. I understood why Chip Kelly went with Michael Vick. But, yeah, maybe he's playing a little bit above his head. But it's one of those – it's a confidence thing, and quarterback position definitely has a lot of momentum. And when you got the hot hand, you got the hot hand. So.
Yeah.
Eagles looking good.
Defense,
Ryan.
Small sample size, but he's averaging 9.6 yards an attempt. That's
the highest in the league.
Quite honestly, that's not sustainable, but that's a very impressive number. Obviously, he's got a lot less. He missed some games. So let's see how he finishes. But
he's 4-1 as a starter.
Right now, I don't see how he's not in the Pro Bowl.
That's what I like to hear. And another quick stat to take away that people, it's all just been about Chip Kelly's offense. Hey, they're not throwing that much with Nick Foles. They're not asking. They're throwing under 30 times a game.
Well, Sean, we have to stop right now. This is what kills me about the fucking retards who watch the NFL. Did no one ever watch Chip Kelly at Oregon?
I know.
They ran the ball. They were a fast tempo team, but they ran the ball. They weren't a passing offense.
Yeah, that's what people don't understand.
The adjustment that he made that I will give him a lot of credit for is in college and what he tried to do, everything was short passes. And what he's clearly changed is he's just letting the receivers go. He's taking advantage of the big arm and by Foles, and he's taking advantage. Look, Riley Cooper, probably not a great receiver if he's catching the ball 5 yards from the line of scrimmage. But send him downfield. He's a big body guy. He can go up and get it. And it also suits DeSean Jackson a lot better.
Yeah. Eagles defense, 7 games in a row, not letting up more than 21 points on defense. You're going to win a lot of games that way, regardless of how good your offense is playing.
Yeah.
But last thing, when you're running that quick hurry-up offense, who's getting gassed the most? It's the defensive linemen, the guys up front. They're the guys who have to reset and get down low to try to get leverage. That's where the hurry-up offense really pays off, is in the run game, because these guys don't get set. They don't get low. You know what I mean? They don't have their nice stance.
I mean, look,
then you're easily blowing them off the line.
Yeah.
LeSean McCoy's running downfield, getting 7 yards of carry.
And you saw it with Denver versus Kansas City. I mean, the hurry-up, granted, they passed a little bit more, but that's you do see the fatigue in the defensive linemen. So, look, it really does annoy me when people make statements like, look at the way that Chip Kelly's adjusted to not throw the ball a million times a game. It's like, when did he ever do that? God, these people are getting paid, Sean.
I know. I tweeted it out. Matt Millen, 2 separate football commentating jobs. He's hired 2 separate networks.
I actually don't mind. I don't mind Matt Millen, actually.
I know. It's just funny. It's just
He was a bad GM, but I'll give him this. His job is to make interesting points. He makes interesting points. And he does – it's the same reason I want to hate Mike Mayock, because he's so annoying sounding, but he's so much better than some of these guys. He at least points out things that you might not, as a casual fan, know or know to look at. And to be honest, as much as I like the NBC crew, Chris Collinsworth typically just points out shit you know, shit you see. And he's a little bit retarded. Oh, my goodness, Sean. I hate to – this is going to drag on. But, man, for anyone who watches Inside the NFL, last week, Chris Collinsworth literally got up on a box in front of what I'm guessing are a bunch of PAs at the show and basically addressed white people saying that you can't use the N-word. If you've not seen this,
oh, man,
you have to watch it. It was one of those things where, like, it was just like – I didn't know what they were going to – honestly, I had no idea. I thought it was a new bit they were doing. And he starts talking about this. He's like, no matter what they say, you can't use that word. It's just like, what? Like, I guess it wasn't – what he was saying was not crazy, but just the idea of having a bit on a show like that is just like, wow. Anyway.
Okay, Ryan. Got a little sidetrack there. That's all right. Detroit Lions at Pittsburgh. No one was feeling the Pittsburgh Steelers except us. Pointed out how bad Detroit is a road team late in the year, especially on, roughed up field. Pittsburgh, big day from Ben Roethlisberger, as I predicted. And Steelers roll 37-27 is a 2-point home dog.
I mean, we said it. And, Sean, one of these years we actually have to put this stuff in writing. But these little notes that you make over the years of just like, this Detroit team, don't play them on the road.
Yeah.
Just look, if they're a favorite, especially, like, don't, if you're not getting 3 points from Detroit on the road, unless there's some other circumstances, I'm passing the game or playing the other team. It's just it's remarkably they're just not a team you want to back on the road, and it's I don't know. Even as bad as Pittsburgh's been.
Yep. Atlanta Falcons went into Tampa Bay and lost. Tampa Bay Bucks 2-game win streak. Look out now. Are they taking down the Feliciano side? Who knows? But the Tampa Bay Bucks 41, Atlanta Falcons 28.
Yeah, quick note. I mean, I don't see any reason why Tampa isn't a team you circle and look to play as a home dog.
Mike Glennon, all right, man. He's not horrible, and
yeah,
Tampa team seems to be playing fired up.
And if anyone has not done this, throw Mike Glennon into Google Images and see how many pictures of Napoleon Dynamite you see.
Well, there's also – it's funny because it's him and Nick Foles. Nick Foles, they have, like, Eagles stuff and, like, animation of him as Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, Nick Foles looks way more normal.
Yeah. Mike Glennon has that skinny head.
And that giraffe neck.
Arizona Cardinals went into Jacksonville. Like I said, Ryan, Jacksonville, not a great home team. Even getting 7 points, Arizona. I said Arizona would win by 10. I was off by 3.
Yeah.
Arizona 27, Jacksonville 14.
Look, this was a great setup outcome for maybe a situation to fade the Cardinals coming up. I don't know. I don't know if you can take anything from anything in a Jacksonville game at this point.
Well, I mean, they're going to be huge spreads, right? Either way, but I think. An autoplay against at home.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. Maybe just because you're getting more points on the road.
Well, and
that could be it. There's no value for home field.
And they just play, I think, from what I've watched of the Jags, they play considerably worse at home. I think when you have when you're playing in a half-empty stadium and you're not a good team, there's a psychological thing.
Well, it could also be the psychological thing of your home. And a team that is going on the road maybe is a little more focused versus when the Jags are on the road and they're playing a team that's at home that maybe
they're
is
more
like
complacent.
We're playing the Jags. We're going to come down. So it may have nothing to do. The Jags may put out the exact same effort for every game.
Maybe it's more their
But
opponent.
It's the combination of the opponent and the fact that you just get more points on the road.
14 points they put up at home. I think that more than they had combined at home going into
that's
the game.
That's impressive.
So maybe you're a step in the right direction. Ryan, Oakland Raiders, my boy Matt McGloin, my upset special, went into Houston as a 7-point dog.
Crazy.
Closer to 10 at a kickoff. I think the 7-point line is with Terrell Pryor. Won outright, 28-23 against Houston Texans. And Case Keenum, who was supposedly a godsend, but looking at 0-3 right now.
Well, he got benched. What's going on in that team? They benched him, and then Kubiak acted a little perturbed when someone asked him if Keenum was going to be a starter this week. It's like, well, dude, you benched the guy.
You benched him in a close game.
Now, Houston, maybe. See, I would continue to maybe look to play Jacksonville and Tampa Bay in spots. Whereas, I don't know if I can play Houston. For some reason, they're still. Look, they were the biggest favorite in the history of the NFL for a team that was 2-7 last week.
Yeah.
All right. This week, biggest favorite ever for a team that's 2-8. They're laying 10 points. It's just, I don't think you're getting any value with Houston because people still have this weird belief that they're going to snap out of it. I don't know.
I don't see
Andre Johnson left the field before the game was over. Look,
never a good
this
sign.
Is a team that you maybe can look to fade.
Miami Dolphins at home dog. Ugly game, but they won it outright as a 1-point dog, 20-16 against the Chargers. Classic Chargers game where settling for field goals and just moving the ball well, but just not getting it done.
The Chargers are slowly becoming the Lions of the AFC, in my opinion. They're a tough team to want to back on the road because of output like this. I couldn't imagine.
They look so good at times. It's infuriating, I think, if you're a fan.
We watch games with a Charger fan, and it's just like, I couldn't imagine being a Chargers. Because it's one thing, like, I'm a Giants fan. They have incredible roller coaster rides during the season, like, but not within games. And it's like, to get the inconsistent play, like, from quarter to quarter is just crazy.
Well, and I think the real frustration is there is a lot of talent there. You do have a marquee quarterback, and you're just not quite getting it done. It's weird, because they have moments where they look pretty solid.
Oh, by the way, remember when the Chargers traded Eli Manning and they fleeced the Giants for Sean Merriman and Phillip Rivers and a kicker, I think? How's that working out for him?
Well, I mean, Eli Manning refused. We got to get our buddy on to explain his hatred of Eli Manning for refusing to play for the
Why would you want to play for a team that has no fan base and can't sell out and their games are blacked out? I mean, to be fair, think about that. Someone came to you and said, hey, man, this team, their games might not even be on TV some weeks because they can't sell out their stadium. I'm like, I'm not playing for this team.
Well, I think the ultimate move is that you play for the – I mean, his brother, Peyton, first ballot Hall of Famer.
With one Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
But a much better quarterback by all other measures. And when he was drafted by the Indianapolis Colts, they weren't drawing a ton of people. They were a pretty god-awful team. They're a small market.
Yeah, but you know why that's a better situation? Because they don't really have a ton of pro sports. It's not like, I mean,
what does San Diego have?
Well, California in general. Not an area I'd want to go, especially in San Diego.
I think if I had to choose between San Diego and Indianapolis going in, I would have chosen San Diego.
Maybe.
All right. Regardless, San Francisco 49ers went into New Orleans. I really like New Orleans, kicking myself for not buying that half point. I got the push there, but I was confident they were going to win. And, man.
It was bullshit.
Came down to the final drive, controversial hit to the head on Drew Brees.
All right, now you're going to get me going again. Look, I understand that you don't like the new NFL, as you call it.
Yeah.
But... and a lot of people have made this point, right? But that wasn't a bad call. That's just a bad rule. I mean, look, that's a penalty. He clotheslined him. Anytime you clothesline a quarterback, it's going to get called. I'm sorry. That's just the way the NFL is now. So to be mad about that call is a little silly. What I was mad about, and the reason I think New Orleans was totally the right side, you look at the punt fumble when Sproles muffs the punt, and then you look at that pick six that turned out to be a touchback, where the interceptor was clearly down by contact as soon as he got the ball. Don't know how the review didn't see that.
Yeah, that was how is that call getting overlooked? That call is much more egregious than the Panthers-Patriots, which I feel like was a judgment call. And the more I watch it, the more I think it's not pass interference. I keep going back and forth.
Look,
we'll get to that. We'll get to that play in a second, but. How are none of the national shows talking about that call? And also, the guy, his foot hit out of bounds before he extended the ball to came out.
Look, I don't know about any of that. Although I will say I was a little nervous about actually betting the three. I bet the three and pushed on that, but I also put in a larger wager just on the money line. I thought that was a better value, I guess you would say. So
what was that, like -150?
-160, I think.
Oh, wow.
So.
All right, Ryan. Green Bay Packers went into the Meadowlands, where they were getting 5 points with Scott Tolzien. Unfortunately, Scott Tolzien was the downfall of this Green Bay Packers team. Giants 27, Green Bay 13. Seems like the game-breaking play was JPP's pick six. Tolzien did not look good. Giants were able to move the ball.
Yeah, I mean, here's the takeaway that you're probably hearing from everyone is that the Giants played another team with their backup quarterback, and that team lost the game. The Giants didn't win the game. Now, that argument, I think, was fair. There's arguments about the Oakland game, but look, if you watch this Giants game, the game wasn't even as close as the score. They really kind of dominated them.
Yeah,
and
I think
they got their running game back, and that's kind of.
I think you could make much more of that case against the Raiders, but like obviously, Tolzien did not look good, and that pick six. was a game changer. But that was a great play by JPP. So
that's a play that not many linemen can make.
No, yeah, I'm not going to say I don't think this was a game that Green Bay lost. It's definitely a game New York won. And as an Eagles fan, I keep going back and forth on the fence of who am I rooting for, Ryan. If you were an Eagles fan, who would you be rooting for?
Right now, because they've already played. You want the Giants to plow down the Cowboys. Like, they still play the Cowboys this week.
That is true, because then that hurts the Cowboys' divisional record. That creates some separation. But then in the back of my head,
you don't want to run into if. Tell me what's in the back of your head, Sean.
Well, no, I'm just thinking of those two teams. I know Dallas isn't capable of getting hot and making a run, but I think maybe New York is. And if the Giants beat the Cowboys, they're only one game back, so that's a little bit less of wiggle room. But I think you're right. Overall, it is definitely better. You got to be rooting for the Giants this week if you're.
Look, they're still 4-6. They're still only 4-6. But
If they win this
these
week,
Giants right? teams, they do have a innate ability to when the back's against the wall. Coughlin, for whatever reason, the team just buys into each other. And when you hear Antrell Roll and Justin Tuck and the other defensive leaders talking about how they got the offenses back, and you hear that JPP and Brandon Jacobs talking about how blood will be shed on this Cowboy game. Like no bullshit. Justin Tuck and Brandon Jacobs legitimately hate the Cowboys, and I think this Cowboy game couldn't have come at a more perfect time for the Giants, in that they are now in full on believing mode, and the Cowboys have kind of suffered some injuries that really has made that defense just garbage.
Yeah, Sean Lee's being hurt.
And really underrated aspect of the Giants, last thing I'll say about the Giants this year, is the Giants have been really good against the run. Adjusted line yards, which is an advanced metric to look at how many, essentially how many yards per carry teams are getting adjusted with who you're playing. The Giants are a top five team at that. And if you think about that, when you're so bad and teams are up so many points on you running the ball, I don't know, maybe it's more predictable, I would think they wouldn't be this good against the run. I've been saying it all year. Like the defense has only gotten better. This is a big two-game stretch. They have the Cowboys and the Redskins.
I think they almost have to win out at this point, right? If they lose, I feel like either the Eagles or the Cowboys will probably.
Here's the deal, right? If they win out, or if they win their next two games, they'll be 6-6. And assuming even if the Eagles do win, they're still only 7-5. So it's still only they're a game up with four to go. So I don't think you.
But then the Eagles, I guess we'd have to look at the division record because they split with the Eagles. So
they split with the Eagles. Yes.
We would have to figure out. But I don't know what the tiebreakers would look like if they actually. See, I think what could happen is. The Eagles
are 3-2 in the division.
The Eagles may need that that game against Dallas. That's their last divisional game. They may need that as the tiebreaker. Now, what's the Giants' divisional record?
1-2. So if they
They have three division games left?
Yeah.
Who do they got?
Redskins twice.
Oh, that's right. That's weird.
Well, usually it's like the Cowboys or Eagles will play twice late. This year it's the Redskins, which may work out very nicely.
But it seems like the time you want to be playing the Redskins. Although I feel like the Redskins just got to win one of those. All right. Seattle Seahawks at home crushed the Vikings 41-20. I don't know. I got sucked into thinking Minnesota maybe had a chance.
Yep.
Got a little bit of a 14 points in there.
AP got banged up.
Ponder not quite looking the same. And just Seattle getting back to their dominant ways there. Okay, Kansas City Chiefs, 8.5 points. I thought that would be enough against the Broncos. Low-scoring game in inclement weather we were expecting. Inclement weather never came through. Peyton Manning did. Broncos 27, Chiefs 17. I'm kind of kicking myself a little bit for not seeing this coming, in that the Chiefs just did not need this game at all. You know what I mean? Like, they almost... I wouldn't say they were playing to lose this game, but it did feel like they were holding back. Now, maybe I was...
That feeling you had, that's just how the Chiefs offense works.
Maybe that's Andy Reid realizing his limits with Alex Smith, and that's been the critique of Alex Smith. But I'm predicting that you'll see a little bit more open playbook. And my God, though. Yeah, what? I mean, so the game's, they're down 10 points. They got like 30 seconds left. And Alex Smith is checking the ball down at the line. I mean, that's insane. I understand not forcing.
I'll give you the error. I don't think they, I mean, look, you're not going to not get up for a big game like that. But I think they just were beat. I mean, they Denver's a tough team to play.
Well,
I'll tell you.
Now, listen, I'll tell you, to me, when I saw this play, I knew the Chiefs didn't have a chance at the game and didn't have a chance to cover either way. When they recover that fumble, I'm like, oh, this is the Chiefs team we know.
Yep, exactly.
This is the Chiefs
team.
They gave it right back. And then Peyton Manning took that ball, drove it down, and got a touchdown. Now, if the Chiefs would have scored, they're at the 15. I think that's a completely different game. But, I mean, that's football in general, right? Turnovers, win games, nothing new there. New England Patriots went into Carolina. Physical game back and forth here. New England Patriots had a chance to win. Driving down, controversial. Pass interference was called, and then it was picked up. And the Carolina Panthers won 24-20. Ryan, you've been high on the Panthers and Cam Newton all season. Great win for them. Signature win.
That run by Cam Newton when he scrambled, broke
guys.
Two guys' ankles. That's
that was
awesome.
Pretty sweet.
Look, I don't think you can really – I mean, this is another – I don't think you can take much away. I think both teams kind of did what they – if Ridley doesn't fumble – Patriots might probably win the game.
Yeah.
Look, it was
really adjust.
It was a tight game between two good teams, two potential playoff teams.
I don't think I really adjusted my take on either one of these teams. I had New England. I thought they would pull out something close at the end, and obviously wasn't too far off on that.
I'll say this: New England might have showed some teams how you can move the ball against Carolina.
Yeah, that was the thing. New England moved the ball up and down the field.
See, one of the things though, I have a feeling that they were just went in there with the game plan that we're not going to let Brady beat us, so they allowed a little bit more running. But I mean, and the other thing is, have we found out did that guy get suspended or fined that leg whip? I don't know if you saw that play.
I didn't see it.
He gets destroyed by Charles Johnson coming off the edge, and he just lays down and kicks his leg back, hits him right in the side of the knee. He came back later in the game, but he wasn't the same. Turns out he's a sprained MCL.
Oh.
I don't see how that is not the same thing as a dude smashing a guy's head. Like, because you're – at least when you're tackling someone, you are trying to tackle a person, which is legal.
Yeah.
When you're throwing your leg like that, that's already illegal. And there's a good chance you're going to either hit him in the front of the knee or the side of the knee. So, yeah, fucking Patriots are dirty.
All right, Ryan. You want to do some quick updates?
Quick recap. League heads. of course, T-shirt. $50 gift card of some type. I'll have to get the specifics on that. To the leader. To the winner. Of course, the playoffs start when the real playoffs start, Sean. First place, yours truly, still holding it down, 9-1. The Bad Horse and Real League Heads tied for second with 8-8-2. I guess the Bad Horse has the tiebreaker due to the season wad. And in fourth, My Vic in a Box, Sean, 15th place, 2-8. Really, really holding it down.
Got a victory last week because I forgot to put in any bets. Another guy lost.
Really,
I made sure I got all my bets in this one.
Really, really trying hard. So then also Pick'em. Not much change at the top from what I remember. Top spot, G Luna with 82. Second, Zimzum Not Dumb, 81. Tied, three guys tied for third, closing out the top five. Mushing Picks with 78. I Am a Genius and E White. Sean, you are now at 8th place with 75, and don't look now, but I am creeping up the leaderboard. I'm up to tied for 17th with, with 71, only 4 points back of you, Sean. So,
Ryan, quick up.
I'm a closer.
Quick program note, we'll be taping the podcast on Tuesday.
Oh.
All right? Tuesday work for you? Tuesday evening?
Yeah.
So then we can
works for you, buddy.
Well, I'm just thinking because we want to be able to have the podcast up for guys Wednesday morning. Because there's so much, there's three games on Thursday. So.
Oh, yeah. It makes sense.
All right, Ryan, let's jump into this Week 12 slate.
All right, Sean.
It's Week 12.
I know. Bummer. Saints, coming off that sneaky win, travel down the road to the Dirty Dirty, where they'll be taking on the Falcons. I don't know. This might be the last big game the Falcons have. Falcons are getting 9, Sean. I don't know. It does feel like if there is a game that they could get up for, this is the game. I certainly don't like the idea of laying that many points on the road for the Saints.
I mean, honestly,
I know it's inside. I don't know. For me, this is Atlanta or pass.
Yeah, I think it's the ugly dog theory.
Maybe you wait.
Yeah, you got to take Atlanta. Hopefully you would get it up to 10 points.
Well, that's possibly the thing, right?
Like, I think maybe the play, though, is just to tease the 8.5 down and then make a play on the total. I'm guessing if you're taking New Orleans, maybe you tease the...
So, yeah, it's 9 in most places now, but still, that fits into my teaser model. You're teasing across the key numbers. May pay the extra juice on the 6.5-point teaser there.
Yeah.
Get it down to 2.5.
Get it down to 2.5 and then take the total. What's the total at now?
53.
Okay, so take 53, get it down to, 46.5.
I got to be honest, though. The only reason I'll probably end up having action on this game is it's a primetime game, and I just can't stay away. although I do have a lot of stuff to do, so who knows? Maybe I won't even watch it, and
we'll
stay away from it.
We'll play some rec league basketball, Ryan.
Yeah, I actually have... Yeah, don't even get me started. All right. Next up, Sean, heading out to Detroit, where the Detroit Lions are... I don't know what to make of this game. They're hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are getting 9 points. I couldn't tell you which way to go here. My brain says take the points, but I feel like this is like one of those games where they just blow the roof off of it.
So I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to stick with my brain. I like Tampa Bay here. 9 points, I think, a little too high.
Talk me into it.
A little too high for how well this team's doing. And they actually run the ball pretty well. Glennon's looked okay in moments.
Rainey looked good last week.
Yeah. I think they're going to be able to run the ball, and that's going to take it's going to slow down Detroit enough that 9 points will be good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to take. I mean, in a pick 'em.
Listen, I don't like Tampa Bay at all, but
in a pick 'em scenario, I'm going to take the Tampa Bay Bucks. I mean, we talked about it. I think they're playing hard. I think they're good. There's probably some value there, like you said, maybe a little extra on the line. Wow. My only concern is everyone's betting Tampa Bay. 80%.
Really?
80% of the tickets.
Sean. Mean, like I said, maybe if that gets down to a touchdown, I'm thinking about it. But at 9,
it's not like the line's moving the wrong way either. It's moving according to the money. All right, Sean, Jacksonville. Your Jacksonville Jaguars. Take to the road where they become bettable. As they are heading into Houston, where Houston is somehow laying 10 points. I don't know why. I don't know how you don't take the dog here.
No, Ryan,
there's
if
nothing
asked,
really to talk about, is there?
If you asked me to independently come up with the spread here, I would have this at 4.
Maybe
6.
Maybe a power rating. But if you're booking, you can't make it less than a touchdown.
No, well, I mean, I would probably have guessed 7 just
but
based
I'm very surprised it's not 7, Sean, to be honest with you.
Full 3 or 4 points off of what I was thinking this line would be. I've been down on the Jags all year with good reason against the spread and straight up. This is actually, I'm going to break my rule and I'm going to play the Jags here getting 10 points.
Yeah. How do you not play?
I bet our buddy Steve that. Our buddy Steve, I don't know if we covered this on the podcast. It's worth touching on again.
Yeah, talk about the bet, Sean.
Steve, our friend Steve, he bet me that the last 8 games in the Jags, or the last 8 games of the Jags seasons, would pay off if you bet that.
If you blindly bet the Jags every week, you would make money, meaning you would go 5-3.
Yeah.
So currently it's 1-1.
So Jags have to go 4-2 ATS. I'm rooting for an outright win here. And then I think that'll give them some respect and some lower spreads for other teams
to
cover.
I like that.
So,
All right, Sean. Next up, Minnesota heads to Lambeau and the Green Bay Packers, where the Packers are laying 5. Ponder will start. AP is banged up, has a groin, has a hamstring. I would want to read a little bit more about his status, I think, but... This is a bit of a tricky spread.
Give me your play here, Ryan, but I would not touch this game with a 10-foot pole.
I would... just like I'm doing in every game, I'm going to take the dog here. It's kind of got a little of what I like. By the way, the public's all over Jacksonville, which is a little scary. But the 80% of the bets, tickets coming in on Green Bay. Tolzien going to be starting again. I don't know if you can back Tolzien laying more than a field goal at home. Again, a lot of this will come down to, is Peterson going to be playing? It sounds like he's not going to miss the game, but how healthy will he be? I think you got to take the Vikings here to cover.
See, I'm going back and forth, and I agree with what you're saying. I think this spread should be 3. You're getting 2 points here, but
no, it shouldn't be 3, but it shouldn't be 5.
Maybe 3.5.
Maybe 3 with juice. I don't know.
I'm predicting a big game from Clay Matthews here. I think he's been playing with that club on. I don't know what the status is, but I predict he's going to have a big game. I think the defense of Green Bay is going to show up at home, and they're going to carry him to a 7-point win.
I mean, this feels like a game that's the spread's only going to get bigger because I don't see where the money is going to come in on Minnesota. I have a feeling this might be a game.
If you like Green Bay, try and get it now.
Yeah, I think you want to get on Green Bay now.
Especially
you might
when
wait
more
on.
Injury stuff about AP comes out. But I'll take Green Bay for now.
All right, Sean. Kansas City. Wow, I'm on all the dogs so far. Kansas City Chiefs coming off that loss to Denver. They head home where they look to get right against the San Diego Chargers. Chargers are getting 4.5. I think this is a bad line. I like the Chiefs here. Look, their home they have a very good home field. It might be even be 3.5 points. I know we talk about not wanting to play the Chiefs as a big favorite, but I think in this scenario, I think that defense is going to be looking to prove a point that they are good. A lot of people questioning that after that Denver game. So I'm going to take this. This will be my first favorite I take this week.
Ryan, are we looking at a potential sandwich game here?
For
Kansas City. Now, because they have San Diego, but are they looking ahead to – are they already looking ahead to next week when they got the Broncos
Denver again? Potentially. The problem is –
they don't need this game.
The reason I would
– I guess it is a division.
That's the reason it maybe isn't a – typically when I like to look for those sandwich games, they're either non-conference or at a minimum non-division. I don't think that affects them. I especially don't think it affects them because they're at home. It's not a short week. There's no weirdness about it. I think you got to go. For me, it's Chiefs or pass. I don't think I can back the San Diego team. They're just too frustrating to watch. And I think Kansas City's defense will be the story in this game. I think they'll be playing.
All right. I'll go with Kansas City. Like you said, I think the deciding factor is the.
Not sure I'm going to bet on this, but yeah. It's
nice home field. I think that could have been the last kick for San Diego.
Sure. All right, Sean, your Miami Dolphins, I guess they're not your team anymore after what they did to Richie Incognito. They are at home where they'll be hosting the Carolina Panthers. Dolphins are getting 4 points at home here. We've talked about this in the past, Sean. Dolphins not a great team to back at home. They're a better team to back on the road, right? It seems like they don't really have that home field advantage.
They did just beat the Chargers at home, though.
And I'm a believer in Cam. I think I said this to you or texted you after that game. Cam Newton is the only player in the NFL that I'll rock a Cam Nose t-shirt or something because, God, he's so good. I still think they're for real. I think you could make the argument that they are coming off a big game. They're on a short week. If there ever was a letdown game on their schedule, this is it. I mean,
yeah, I think, and that's why I'm going to go with Miami. We got a non-conference game on a short week. You got Miami getting 4 points.
You didn't let me finish the point. Sure. Why all that doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
They have a fierce defense. And what happened last week, their defense kind of had a bad game. Their defenses are proud. Good defenses are very proud. They're a good defense, and they're not going to want to get run all over again like that. I truly believe that they're going to be more focused. And maybe the offense doesn't put up more than 14, 17 points, but we could be looking at a situation where Miami doesn't score 10 points here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm scared about Miami's offensive line against Carolina, but I'm going to ride the home dog here.
Yeah, and look, this is going to be an insanely public play. This is going against most of my logic. Will I bet it? I'm not sure. But in the pick'em, picking all the games, I'm definitely going to play Carolina. All right, Sean. Ooh, what a crappy matchup. Cleveland Browns host the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers are getting 2 points. Ugh. We just talked about this, Sean. Browns, when they're getting more than a touchdown or they're a home dog, I like them. I'm not sure I like them in this spot. I am not sure I like – I just don't know if I like them coming off only – or being favored over the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think I have to go with Pittsburgh here. I don't see a situation – I mean, I'm basically picking Cleveland to win, and I think kind of they've kind of righted the ship in Pittsburgh.
Big Ben
a little
dominates
bit.
The state of Ohio, Ryan.
And he dominates the state of Ohio. This feels like a game that I think I'm taking the dog or passing. I also think this is a game where this line might flip. I could easily see this being Pittsburgh -2
at kickoff
kickoff, and that's a totally different story. But right now, I say grab the points with Pittsburgh. All right, Sean. Oh, your Chicago Bears head to St. Louis. Wow. So here's the deal, Chicago. They're getting a point. I'm not sure I'm a believer in the Chicago Bear team. I like them. I like them at home a lot better than the road. I like them on grass a lot better than on turf. And quite frankly, that pass rush the Rams has is fierce on that turf. I kind of like the Rams in this spot, Sean.
Yeah, I kind of like the Rams as
Bears
well.
Coming off a physical, muddy, overtime game.
Yeah, I hear you. And I like St. Louis as a home team. I'll take St. Louis here at home. I think they'll be able to handle the Bears.
Yeah, I don't know. It should be a close game, but that pass rush on turf for the St. Louis Rams is very impressive to watch. Next up, Baltimore Ravens. Coming off that messy game against the Bears, host the Jets, who, if you just look at the win-loss trend, they win one, they lose one, so they're due to win one. Jets also a close-your-eyes special as they underperform the spread by 21. They are now getting 3.5 in Baltimore. No-brainer. Grabbed it Sunday night as soon as it came out. Jets +3.5. I think they have what it takes to keep the Ravens from scoring many points, and I think the Jets do just enough to get by. Feels like a 21-17 type game. Jets win.
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed everything I wanted to get to. And also, this feels like a field goal game, right? So why not take the 3.5 here?
Yep. I don't know. Sometimes it feels too easy, Sean. It makes me a little nervous. Next up, Oakland Raiders, who have just announced they will start Matt McGloin again, host the Tennessee Titans, where the Titans are getting only a point. That's a little surprising to me. I don't know if Tennessee has done enough for me to be that impressed with them. But, you know, why not take the Oakland Raiders? They another team, not good, but they seem to be playing hard for their coach, for their new quarterback, whatever it is. They seem to have a little heart at least. So I'll roll with the short home favorite here. You pick who you think's going to win, and I think Tennessee – even though they're coming off that Thursday night game, that was a tough loss. And that loss kind of put them in a situation where...
I'll bet against Ryan Fitzpatrick on the road.
Well, also, it put them in a situation where they're basically now out of the playoffs. Not out of the playoffs, but they can't win their division anymore for sure. So they're right in the playoff race in the AFC, actually, for that one spot. But
yeah, that second wild card spot is wide open.
I think I'm going to look to fade them here. As strange it is, I kind of like Oakland as a home team this year. They've been playing teams feistily. Is that a word?
No.
Okay. Sean, your Arizona Cardinals are facing your Indianapolis Colts. What are you going to do here?
Yeah. I don't know what to do.
Cardinals somehow laying 2.5, Sean. I'll tell you flat out, there's no way I'm back in Arizona here. But guess who disagrees with me? 72% of the betting tickets coming in. The line actually opened at 1.5, has gone to 2.5. What am I missing here, Sean? Indy is the play for me.
Yeah, I think Indy is the play for me. I like Indy. I know I'm a broken record on it. I think the last time I went against Indy recently was I went against them when they played the Rams. I didn't obviously call that a blowout game. Indy just wins games. This is a classic letdown game for the Arizona Cardinals. The X factor here for me is, does Bruce Arians have a little inside knowledge on how to play Andrew Luck? I don't think so. I mean, Andrew Luck is not a system quarterback. The guy just has the intangibles it takes to win. I think, and I like the Colts defense, which isn't great. I like them going up against Carson Palmer.
Yeah, I mean, if the Cardinals win this game, I'll be very surprised. It's very strange. I truly,
the Cardinals win this, though, they're what, 7-4?
Yeah, there's a couple lines this week I just don't get. Next up, Sean, big game in the NFC least. Cowboys head to New York or New Jersey. Well, they'll be facing the Giants. Cowboys getting 2.5. Seems about right. Not surprised that it's 2.5. I don't know. I don't think we're talking enough about that Sean Lee injury. And the Tampa, too, you need that middle linebacker to be able to be all over the field. And Miles Austin is coming back. Jerry Jones says he's ready. He's ready to contribute now. Historically, these games are shootouts. I don't know the weather report, but I don't know. You pick who you think is going to win this game. And like I said, I think this situationally, this is a very – there's a lot of positives right now going for the Giants, the way they're coming together, the way that they're playing decent ball, and the fact that the Cowboys, Jason Garrett, not good off of byes.
No.
Bye week, not good for him. So – and the injuries. I mean, they've been hit with the injury bug. DeMarcus Ware says he'll be ready, but he said that last time, and his leg looked like it wasn't working properly. Look, the book's out on him. You double-team him, it frustrates him. He yells at you on the sideline. So Jason Witten isn't what he used to be. And quite frankly, since John Beeson came to the Giants, that defense has turned around. Him and Antrell Roll have that physical kind of bang you attitude and the defensive. I don't know, this is a very good spot for the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bad position for the Cowboys. Like you said, for me, it comes down to, is Sean Lee playing? He's not playing.
He's out.
That defense is a liability. I mean, the Saints torched him. Now, I don't expect that same performance from Sheila Manning, the human turnover machine. Although I did pick him up in fantasy, and I'll be starting him against you. So,
because what does he do? He torches the Cowboys every
year. Well, and I think he does have some ability to read the defense and play from a shotgun. And I think it's going to be tough for the Cowboys to slow them down.
For whatever it is, Eli just plays well against the Cowboys. And I don't know. I truly believe that the Giants feel that this is their biggest rival. I mean, like I was telling you earlier, there's players on the team that actually hate the Cowboys. So anyway, Giants is the play. Moving on, Sunday night. Big game. Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos head to New England. Where the Patriots getting 2.5 points. First time they've been a home dog in, I believe, since 2005, I think I saw.
Yeah.
Patriots coming off a game they very easily could have won against a very good team. For me, the story is Patriots offense versus Denver's defense. I like Tom Brady to move the ball here. On the flip side, Denver offense versus Patriots defense. Wes Welker, question mark with the concussion. He was somehow let back in the game. And Peyton Manning's inability to move. I like Belichick. I mean, look, Belichick has owned Peyton Manning away from Peyton Manning's home field. And how often do you take Brady with points and Belichick with – I just think – I like backing Belichick in this situation because Peyton knows that Belichick is in his head. I truly believe that. And I know they've had a lot of defensive injuries, but I think this is going to be a little bit of a shootout, and I'll trust the Patriots defense a little bit more than I will the Broncos.
Yeah, I think it's just the Patriots as a home dog. I realize they're not what they once were, but I don't even think they played that horribly against the Panthers. I think they went up against a really physical defense on the road, kind of punched them in the mouth. They were a little gassed by Cam Newton's athleticism, but I think their defense matches up a lot better to a less mobile quarterback like Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning beats you with X's and O's, something that they excel at.
And I would even argue that I don't think the Patriots Carolina game was that physical. I thought it would be more physical. I think Carolina got away from their running game a little bit too much. So on the flip side, I think the Broncos played a pretty physical game. I think even though Peyton Manning didn't get hit, I think there was a lot of banging going on. The Chiefs just did that to you, especially on offense.
And they got – at some point, all these big games are going to catch up to them.
And you mentioned the sandwich spot. This is a non-divisional game. It is a night game. It is, you know, Peyton versus Tom. But they have a much more important game next week where they'll be playing Kansas City again for the division. And basically the difference of being a potential one seed or a five seed – I don't know. I'm not. It's one of those games where I'm betting on the Patriots, and I really hope it's a game where the Patriots get the calls like they didn't get last week.
Well, they got most of the calls, or they got a handful, and then. So Brian, real quick though, but did you think that was pass interference?
I was very surprised they picked. As it happened, I remember thinking, "You got to be fucking kidding me! That what was he doing?"
He didn't look back to the ball. And if there's contact and you don't look back at the ball, they almost always call that.
And they threw the flag. They never pick up pass interference anymore. So, and then the explanation that the guy on the ESPN coverage, the former referee, said was that basically something to the tune of, because his momentum was taking him out of the end zone and the ball was intercepted in the front of the end zone, it's clearly uncatchable. I don't know about that. I would be pretty pissed if I was a Patriots fan. I think it was a pretty bad...
No, but it doesn't... The interpretation of uncatchable is pretty vague.
Yeah. It was uncatchable, but they call much more uncatchable
things
catchable.
But for it to be called uncatchable, it has to be really uncatchable.
That's my point, is they rarely call uncatchable. So, I don't know.
Weird call.
Am I glad that
that's why... All said and done, I think the refs got... in their own heads, because they were in Carolina. I think the psychology, that's why it's a home field advantage, right?
Sure, and I meant to bring this up, but the refs. I mean, the refs, I think, had a really bad weekend. Last up, Sean, Monday Night Football. 49ers head to Washington, where the Redskins are in turmoil. Meanwhile, the Niners are coming off a tough road loss, second road game in 2 weeks, going back on the road. I don't know. My instincts would be, give me the Redskins. And 90% of the public is on San Francisco. I don't know, Sean. I can't back the Redskins. I might have to pass on this game.
Right, you can't pass. We pick every game.
No, I'm picking it. But it's
you mean
in the pick? I'm going to grab the Redskins, but
yeah.
For a primetime game, this is going to be a tough game to lay off. I don't know. I mean,
tough game to bet.
Sorry, tough game to bet. Yeah,
I'm feeling the same way. I didn't want to touch this game as well. That being said, I'll go with the home dog getting 5 points.
You know what? I said I wasn't going to be backing the Redskins anymore. I'm going to take the 49ers here. I think the 49ers just smash them.
Yeah, I mean, that would not surprise me.
I just don't want to back this team. They're fighting amongst themselves right now.
Yeah, it's not a good spot.
But 5.5, I don't know. Anyway. Real quick, Sean.
Yep.
Do you want to go first or should I?
Oh, yeah. Why don't you go first? I still...
You got to think about it?
I'm running the numbers.
All right, lock of the week. This is tough, Sean. This is a tough week. Sometimes it just doesn't – some of these lines just don't really make a lot of sense to me. My lock of the week, give me the – oh, man. My underdog money line special will be the Jets for sure. But I got to be honest. I think my lock is going to be the St. Louis Rams. I really like this game for them. I really think that they're going to kind of dominate the Bears. I think the Bears are going to have trouble. And my tease, as discussed, this is a great teaser week, Sean. A lot of good numbers for teasing. Mm. Give me the Patriots up to 8.5. Give me the Colts up to 8.5. And give me the Jets up to 9.5. Tell me where I lose that one, Sean.
Yeah, I don't know. That looks pretty solid, Ryan.
And you could throw the Steelers in there, too, up to 8. A lot of good teasers. Teaser numbers. Sean, you're up.
Okay, for my upset special, I'll take those, take the Jets. Or, I mean, I'm sorry, for my lock, I'll take the Jets, get 3.5. For my upset special, I'll take the Jags. Biggest dog on the board, but I like it against this Houston team.
Yeah, you win outright?
Back-to-back upset specials against the Texans, feels right. You want to talk about a team in turmoil, they're right up there. And for my lock, Ryan.
Lock.
I got to go with the, man, how can I get away from these Colts, baby? Give me the
All right,
Colts.
Do it.
Getting 2.5 points.
Real quick, Sean.
They should be laying 2.5.
Real quick, there's a couple college football games we should definitely touch on. Two second version. First one, UCLA, Arizona State. Big game in the Pac-12 South, or whatever they call it. UCLA getting 2.5 at home, maybe 3. Again, I like this UCLA team.
What's not to like?
I got to keep backing them. I don't know if you agree with me.
No, yeah, I love the UCLA team. Give me a UCLA money line.
I'm going to go out of conference here for me. Texas A&M, LSU, big game in the SEC this week. I got to be honest, LSU favored by 4.5. I thought it'd be more. I think this is a situation. Over-under 71. There's going to be no defense in this game. And I'm going to give the ball to Zach Mettenberger. I think LSU rolls. I think LSU wins by 7 or 10 points.
I got Johnny Manziel, baby.
Of course you do.
Johnny Manziel.
Last game, last big game on the slate. Baylor, number 4 in the BCS now, heads down to Oklahoma State, who is cruising since their West Virginia loss with only one loss in the season. Baylor, though, only laying 10 points. They have some injury issues. I know a lot of the sharps are on Oklahoma State, but I got to be honest, I don't care. I'm going to take Baylor in this game. Look for a 9.5 if you're playing Baylor. Right now it's minus 10 plus odds in a lot of places, so you can buy it down to 9.5. That would be my recommendation. I just think this Baylor team, how do you go against them? They just run the score up every week.
I'll take Baylor. That's my only favorite I like.
Yeah.
Give me the dogs.
It's just, anyway, and one other thing we didn't talk about before it happened, but we should discuss this after the fact. MMA over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, GSP.
GSP won a decision that basically every MMA fan I know that watched the fight said was complete horseshit, and I love it. Dana White came out and said, why do I even continue to bring fights to Vegas? With the way, the state of this athletic commission, I think it's good that someone's taking a stand because it is horse shit. What's the point of watching these great boxing matches or great MMA fights when you ruin it at the end? I mean, look, Johnny Hendricks, he should have been crowned as the champ, give him the belt, and they just ruin it by not understanding the sport. Something has to be done. I'm glad Dana White is taking a stance, and now he has the backing to. UFC kind of, Vegas had leverage on them, Nevada, because there wasn't really too many places MMA was legal.
Yeah,
now it's legal everywhere, and granted, you don't have the same weekend experience, because you have the whole weigh-in, you have the whole gambling, you party, whatever, but guess what? Go to LA, go to San Francisco, go to Toronto, go to Chicago, Midwestern cities that love wrestling and that bullshit, go to New York, it's just, I really hope this changes the way that the athletic commission's run in Nevada.
Yeah, that being said, I have a feeling it won't. But it is nice that someone of power is criticizing.
He's the most powerful. I mean, he's the most powerful person in the sense that he literally runs the organization. There hasn't ever really been a person like that in boxing. There's been different promoters, but they're kind of in it for their own interest. This guy's in it for the brand UFC. So kind of an interesting potential story coming up.
Good times. Anything else you want to wrap up on, Ren?
That's pretty much it. I feel like I got a lot off my chest today, Sean.
It's cathartic, the Sports Gambling Podcast. All right, guys, make sure you hit us up on iTunes, Stitcher, rate, review. Yeah, if you guys are on iTunes, throw us a little review. Always appreciate that. Follow us on Twitter, as always. Try and retweet as many picks as we see. Go back and forth. Enjoy you guys checking us in over there. And, Yeah, we're on the Facebook, the whole nine. So for the Sports Gambling Podcast, I am Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
Whoever sends me the coolest Cam Newton t-shirt for me to buy online, I'll send them a Sports Gambling Podcast t-shirt. So tweet those at Sports Gambling Podcast.
Kramer, let it ride.